Hello and welcome to another edition of the South Carolina Business Review. This is Mike Switzer. When Congress enacted the Secure 2.0 Act a couple of years ago, it put into motion certain retirement planning changes that are continuing into 2025, and our next guest says that these changes will affect a lot of people. Rob DeHollander is a certified financial planner in Greenville, South Carolina, and a member of the South Carolina Financial Planning Association, and we have him on the phone. Rob, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you having me again.
So to get started, let's just get a quick overview from you about the Secure 2.0 Act.
We've talked in the past a lot about the savings crisis in America, and according to the numbers I saw recently from the GAO, Americans 55 to 64 years old, these are people right on the cusp of retirement. Over 40% of them have nothing saved for retirement, zero. So Congress passed this legislation to try to help with this. The original Secure Act was passed in 2019, and Secure 2.0, which is the new one, was signed into law December 2022. Ultimately, the legislation's really intended to help encourage Americans to save more for retirement.
Okay, and so it didn't quite do the job, the 2019 version. Is that why we had the 2022 version?
The 2019 version was focused a lot on individual retirement accounts and individuals. The 2022 version expanded that into the workplace retirement accounts and also addressed some elements with student loans and emergency savings accounts and things like that. So it's basically an expansion of the original program.
All right, and so what do our listeners need to know about the provisions for this year, 2025?
Specifically for this year, they're doing mandatory automatic enrollment for new plans, higher catch-up contributions for folks in their 60s, also student loan matching contributions. Some employers will implement those to help with student loan debt. Emergency savings provisions have been added. That's a brand new thing as well. And then they've added legislation to really try to simplify the implementation of plans for the business owners. So they're trying to make it easier for small businesses to set these accounts up and make them available to employees.
And so all of these basically have to do with payroll deductions.
Yeah, all pre-tax dollars except for the provision for the emergency savings accounts. You can put $2,500 into a plan. It's a Roth-like account. And then you can pull that out at any time, tax-free, for emergency needs. And that's a new thing with after-tax money that's part of the plan as well.
And so these new provisions for small businesses that will make it easier for them to set these things up for their employees, do you feel like that will indeed happen now, that more of these small businesses will say, okay, I've got these incentives now, let's do this?
I hope so, but most things, it's like it's in the implementation, right, Mike? So as I read some of the details on this, and I'm not an expert by any means, but there are still some limitations on this, and employers have a lot on their plate already. But last numbers I saw was over 40% of small businesses don't even offer a retirement plan. And so that's one of the reasons Americans don't save. So I'm hoping that they can get some of those on the books and in place.
All right. Now, what about non-employer-sponsored retirement plans? Are there any provisions for IRAs, for example?
Yes, there's some big ones, and in particular, inherited IRAs. So let me just talk about that for a second. We've talked about this in the past, and your listeners probably know that the original Secure Act eliminated the stretch IRA, and it implemented a 10-year rule for beneficiaries, which was usually their kids. And what that basically meant is that the beneficiary had to withdraw all the funds from an inherited IRA or Roth IRA within 10 years of the owner's death. Where this got confusing was when the original account owner had been taking their required minimum distributions when they passed away. So the question was this: so does the beneficiary have to take those RMDs as well as liquidating the account balance within 10 years? And the answer ended up being yes on that. They do. But that didn't start until this year, 2025. So if you're subject to RMDs in an inherited IRA, you'll need to start taking those required minimum distributions this year, but you don't have to go back and take those RMDs for prior years since inception in 2022.
Well, Rob, great information as usual. We look forward to having you back again. Thank you so much.
Thanks again, Mike.
Rob DeHollander is a certified financial planner in Greenville, South Carolina, and a member of the South Carolina Financial Planning Association. We will have a link to the association posted at our webpage so you can learn more, southcarolinapublicradio.org. Or you can hear the show again, and remember, you can hear us again wherever you find podcasts. With the South Carolina Business Review, this is Mike Switzer.
The views expressed on the South Carolina Business Review do not necessarily reflect those of South Carolina Public Radio.